Sam, we thank you so much this morning for leading us. It has been a great worship service thus far. And God is honored and God is blessed, and you and I are enriched and encouraged already, I know. And we appreciate so much all of you that are here today. There has long been the question that I have projected here before you this morning. Will we know each other in heaven? You know, we sing the old song, "When we all get to heaven," as if to say that everybody's going there. I don't think that the writer had that intention at all in penning that song. But I think he did suggest that those of us who are God's children are going to be able to go to heaven, and we are going to know one another there. And I want to share with you this morning what I consider to be the answer to this one question. Of all the questions asked concerning heaven, probably the most frequently asked is this one. Will I know my mother in heaven? Will I know my father? Will I know my wife, my husband, my children, my grandchildren? Will we, in fact, know one another in heaven? And the Bible says yes. What does God reveal in His Word about this? And so I hope you're listening this morning. You know, a lot of people have a lot of different concepts about heaven and what it really is going to be like. We talk a lot about things, and we use that where we talk about heavenly pie or angel food cake. I mean, you know, we use that word a lot, heaven. I've heard people maybe at a memorial service or a funeral talk about someone who liked to play chess, that they're going to be playing chess up in heaven. Well, let me remind you that God does not say that. You're not going to play God Monopoly. It's not going to happen. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think we're going to be playing checkers up in heaven. I don't know where they came up with the concept, Bibleology. I don't know where they came up with all these ideas about playing games. You would think that all we did here is play games, and we're going to continue to do that when we get to heaven. No, there won't be any dominoes, no 42. I'm sad to announce to all of you this morning, but it just isn't going to happen. And by the way, God's not going to be playing on His cell phone when you get there, nor will you. You won't. You will be praising and honoring God if you get there. But will we recognize one another in heaven? Well, the only way you're going to find the answer to that, and the way I found it, is to read the Holy Bible. So many questions we all have about heaven. You know, Audrey and I were talking yesterday afternoon. She said, you know, I told her what my sermon was going to be about. And she said, you know, I guess, too, I need to have a lot of emphasis on how am I going to get there, and what are you going to do to help me get to heaven? Think about this a minute. What are you going to do to help your preacher get to heaven? What am I going to do to help you get to heaven? Well, I'm going to tell you about that in just a moment. But what about knowing those who won't get to heaven? I'm sad to tell you this morning, but not everybody's going to heaven. Jesus spoke of a place called hell, but He also spoke of a place that was really an eternal bliss, a utopia. It is called heaven. It is a place for the redeemed of all ages. It is a place where if we have been found faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10, we'll be going there, and we will be with the redeemed of the ages. Think about these scriptures that hint at the idea of going to heaven and knowing what it's going to be like. Abraham died at the good old age of 175. And the Bible says that he was gathered to his people. Now consider these other passages, if you will. The expression, which is synonymous with going to his father, think about this in Genesis 15:15. Is synonymous with the words found in Judges 2 and verse 10 about being gathered unto our Father. Now, in the Bible, there are seven reasons for believing that we shall know and recognize one another in heaven. So if you've ever wondered about the question, will I know one another in heaven? Who will we know? Who will be there? Think with me this morning. The Word of God definitely implies that in heaven we will know one another. This phrase, being gathered to his people, is found recorded at the death of many Old Testament characters. You can go back in the annals of history and you will find that to be true. Ishmael died and was gathered to his people according to Genesis 25 and verse 17. Isaac, one of the great heroes of the Bible, the son of Abraham, breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, Genesis 35 and the remaining verses there in 28. When Isaac and Ishmael were gathered to their people, did they recognize their own father, Abraham? It would be foolish, I think, to deny that they did. or that they did not know him. I think they knew him well. Well, think about Jacob. He was gathered to his people while still in Egypt in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. Aaron, the first high priest of Israel, died on the top of Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. You can see that little expression used over and over and over. Moses died and was buried in the mountain of Nebo and was then gathered to his people, Deuteronomy 32. And the destiny of Moses is further described in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 16. He said, "Behold, you will be with your fathers." Now, this could not refer to his physical body, for it was buried already in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, according to Deuteronomy 34. So he's not talking about the physical body. I mean, you may be buried in one cemetery, and you may be your wife be buried in another one, or your parents be buried in another one, maybe some other city or whatever. But when he's talking about being gathered in together, he's talking about being gathered in spirit to our fathers or to our loved ones. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, there's a very strong implication, for the Bible says that we shall know as we are known. Notice this, Paul comparing the present with the future reminds us, but that when we enter the fuller life of heaven, those limitations, think about it, will be removed. Isn't it amazing that we'll be knowledgeable in heaven? We'll know things we've never, ever known in our life. You know, we can only envision what heaven is like today. We can talk about what the Bible says concerning no tears in heaven, joy in heaven. The Bible talks about peace being there. But think about this. We're going to know more and we're going to see more than we have ever been able to see or hear in this life. And it suggests that in heaven we shall know one another. We'll know each other better. You always want to get to know people here on earth. You're going to get to know them better if they make the celestial city. And we will be blessed. Is it conceivable that our capacities of knowledge and recognition of loved ones will diminish in heaven? Certainly not. There is no way. It's only going to be better in heaven. And then secondly, there is the story of the rich man and Lazarus that confirms that we will know one another in heaven. And I'll tell you why. The Bible says in the passing of time, there was a rich man. He fared sumptuously every day, had all the wonderful things in life that he wanted, but he died as a pauper spiritually. Rather, on the other hand, there was Lazarus, who was a poor beggar, and the rich man didn't have time for Lazarus. When he backed out of his driveway in the morning, he didn't ask him if he wanted a ride. He didn't ask him if he needed money. He was unconcerned. But the Bible says that they both died. And in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes toward heaven, toward Father Abraham, or God. And he said, would you send Lazarus with water that he may touch it to my tongue? For I'm in this horrible, horrible flame. And God says, no, Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. And he cannot cross over that chasm to come to where you are. That is not the way God designed it. But this story recorded in Luke 16 was given by our Lord. It lifts the veil a little bit on the afterlife, what it's really going to be like. And by the way, did you know that they all recognized each other? Lazarus was still Lazarus. The rich man was still the rich man. Still was. Now, so people that ask me that question, I mean, you know, you don't have to go through the gamut of seven things to try to prove it, but just for your understanding and learning. The plea from hell, think about it, and the pit thereof, was that God would send Lazarus, but it was too late. It was too late to go to heaven at that point. And the lost souls have the power of recognition. How much more will the saved souls be able to recognize one another? Consider that. The rich man knew where Lazarus was, that he was in the bosom of Abraham. He knew where he was. He called his name, send Lazarus. And a lot of people think, well, we're not even going to be able to remember in the afterlife. Not true, folks. Your memory will be restored even more than you can imagine. But thirdly, the transfiguration scene illustrates the fact that we're going to know one another in heaven. Remember when Jesus went up the mountain outside of Jerusalem? And he carried with him Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says that while he was there, that Moses and Elijah appeared with him of all things. And Peter said, Lord, it's good that we're here. We'll build a tabernacle for Moses and one for Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. And God spake from heaven as Jesus, listen, as he was transfigured. And the God of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The cloud overshadowed those Elijah and Moses. And Christ was transfigured before their very eyes. And you know what? Moses was still Moses hundreds of years after we read about him at Nebo, or Mount Pisgah, when he looked over into the wonderful promised land of God. Noah, by the way, was still Noah. Their names didn't change. In Luke 9, verse 28, the Bible says that we read that Jesus took Peter, James, and John to that mountain. Now, when you look at that, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? What God does. Elijah, think about it, had been dead for 900 years. Moses had been dead for 1,500 years, but they're still who they say they are. And when you stand in the presence of God in heaven, you will be who you are now. There'll be no dramatic changes. It'll be too late for any changes or to ameliorate anything in your life. But the fourth thing, I think, that confirms the nature of heaven requires that we know one another. It is a time to remember. You know, memory is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Occasionally, I'll go back and look at old church directories through the years, and Audrey and I were talking yesterday about some that were very faithful members of the Lord's church here, and some of those who died the first year we moved here, 55 years ago, but we still remember them, and we remember their faithfulness. You see, the final judgment scene in Matthew 25, 30 7 through 40 tells us that the righteous knew they never saw the Lord while on this earth, but they were going to see him in heaven. Jesus told them to remember the other people that had assisted in this life. Remember them. Heaven is the Christian's home. Can you see, conceive in your mind of a home where those who live there do not know each other? That's why I think that this story confirms. Heaven is the Father's house. Look up John, the 14th chapter. In my Father's house, that's heaven, are many mansions. Can you imagine the children in the Father's house not being able to recognize and know the Father and the other children, the siblings? Think about it. Heaven is spoken of as a family circle. When you read Ephesians 3 and verse 15, Paul points out that, we're not strangers to each other. If we have been faithful here in this life, we will be in a place where we are more known than we have ever been. Heaven is described as a city. Look up Hebrews 11 and verse 10. As the citizens in the heavenly city, to be strangers one to another. Can you imagine? There's so many people that I know, and I'm looking forward to greeting them in heaven. I told my children to meet me at the Eastern Gate. That's where I'm going to be. Heaven is a kingdom. The King will be there, King Jesus. And we shall recognize him in all his beauty. For in Isaiah 33 and 17, and we shall be like him. John even went over to say in 1 John 3 and verse 2, he said, brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. You think Jesus knows others in heaven? I think he does. And if we're going to be like him, we're going to know others that are there too, folks. Names represent personalities. Think about, we always talk about God having the role, and he does. And our name, as we are children of God, our name is on the roll. So if our names are in heaven, we are already known there. Don't you think we'll be recognized there? But number 7, heaven is spoken of as a better country. For Hebrews 11 to 16 says, so we shall enjoy better knowledge, deeper fellowship, and our loved ones in heaven than we do upon this earth. That's why heaven is going to be so wonderful. Number 8, I threw in. The Apostle Paul anticipated it, believe it or not. Several times in his writing, Paul tells us that he refers to the joy of heaven, and that it will be increased by many friends that are there, and especially those whom he had great joy in winning to Christ. You know, through the years, I've had the opportunity to baptize a lot of folks, and a lot of those have gone on their reward, I'm telling you. But I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to standing in the presence of God and the presence of my brethren that have gone on and say, didn't I tell you so? Isn't heaven as wonderful as I told you it would be? And it will be awesome. How could he write these things if he did not firmly believe there would be mutual recognition in heaven? The hope of Christ ensures it. He's coming again. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To know that when you walk, you go to the graveside of a loved one, that's not the end. I mean, it's only a transition. It's just something we go through to get to where we want to be. Like you walk through the door of the church building this morning. You walk through that door to get in here. Well, one of these days, we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we have nothing to fear. For we know that in heaven, and that's where we're going, We're going to be there with the redeemed of all ages and the people that loved God. The recognition of Christ settles it, folks. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Think about it. When he came out of that grave, he was still Jesus. He was recognized. The two men on the road to Emmaus after his crucifixion said, "Our hearts did burn within us as we walked with him in the way." We are to have a body like his glorious body. And just as he was recognized in the resurrection body, so shall we also be in the resurrection body. That to me is one of the most awesome things in all of the world. We are going to know one another in heaven. It is grounded in all the wonderful promises of God, in the writings of the apostles, and we as God's people ought to long for the realization of heaven. Another song suggests, however, if we never meet this side of heaven, as we struggle this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life. Oh, how wonderful heaven is going to be. The question I ask you this morning is, are you going there? Are you going there? In the day that Christ calls the dead from the grave, in the resurrection, will you be there? Will you? The Bible says for the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die, will your spirit, not your body, but will your spirit be gathered to your loving mother, your father, your wife, husband, children, grandchildren? We can know and we can know. Paul said, "I've written these things that you may know that you have eternal life." I believe with all of my heart that when we become a Christian and we live faithful unto God and we have put our hand into the hand of the man from Galilee, that is Jesus, then we have the promise of life eternal. There will be no big question. And I'm telling you the honest truth. If I should pass from this life before you, and you walk by the casket, and you see me laying there, don't let there be a question about my destiny. Let there be an exclamation mark. Don't ask questions like, "I wonder if he made it," because I'm telling you right now, I'll make it. I'll make it. When I think about heaven, I often think about a story that someone shared with me some time ago. It was about a 5-year-old African-American boy who will never be forgotten by those who knew him. A nurse named Gracie took care of this lad during his latter days of life. He was dying of lung cancer, which is a terrifying disease, and certainly in his final stages. But the lungs fill with fluid, and the patient is unable to breathe, you can imagine. It is terribly claustrophobic, especially for a young child. This little boy had a Christian mother who loved him and stayed by his side through the long ordeal. She cradled him in her lap and talked softly about the Lord. Instinctively, the woman was preparing her son for the final hours to come. Gracie said as she entered his room that day, as death approached, and she heard this young boy saying something about bells. The young boy said, "The bells are ringing, Mama." He said, "I can hear them." And the nurse thought that he was hallucinating, but he was really slipping away. The nurse said to his mother, "I'm sure you know that your baby is hearing things that aren't there. He is hallucinating because of his illness." But the mother pulled her son closer to her chest and smiled and said, "No, ma'am. He's not hallucinating. I told him that when he was frightened, when he couldn't breathe, if he would listen carefully, he could hear the bells of heaven. And that's what he's been talking about all day long." That precious child died on his mother's lap later that evening. He was still talking about the bells of heaven when the angels came and bore him into the presence of the heaven that we've talked about this morning. What a brave trooper he was. Will we know one another in heaven? Absolutely. Now, if you're not a Christian, you won't be there to find out. You won't. For heaven belongs to Christians. One of these days, maybe you'll hear the bells of heaven, and they will ring, and God will send his angels and bring you home. I hope this morning that everybody in this audience is a Christian. But if you're not, let me ask you to reconsider it where you are right now. And if you're not a Christian, why not come to Christ? Yield your life to him. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus. And be buried with him in baptism. And raised to walk in that new life. And someday, go to heaven. Let us stand and let us sing.